And joining us today on Perspectives is Jesse Goolsbee. And Jesse is the author of the recent book, I'd Walk With My Friends If I Could Find Them. This is a very interesting novel. It's a novel about the wars within the last 15 years. But before we talk about that, I want to introduce you to Jesse. His fiction and essays have appeared in Narrative and the Kenyon Review, Epoch, the Literary Review, Alaska Quarterly Review, the Greensboro Review, and many other publications. He is the recipient of the Richard Bosch Short Story Prize, the John Gardner Memorial Prize in Fiction, and Holland and Knight Distinguished Fellowship from the Hambridge Center for Creative Arts and Sciences. He is also a retired U.S. Air Force officer. Goolsbee was raised in Chester, California, and now lives in Tallahassee, California. Jesse, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Louis, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, one of the things that we want to talk about, first of all, because this is a novel, as I mentioned at the beginning, about where we meet a young Army recruit, a high school graduate, and a lot of people enlisted right after 9/11. When we don't have a draft anymore, so a lot of these people go in voluntarily. When we meet Wintrick Ellis here, he is, as I mentioned, a fresh Army recruit. But then with him, he also has two seasoned fighters, Big Dax, as you call him, and Armando Torres. And we're going to talk about that combination and that friendship and what went on and off the field, in the battlefield, in the theater, in just a minute. But first of all, Jesse, have you always aspired to be a writer since you were young?
I haven't. I think I've always been a really interested and active reader, but it wasn't until later on, specifically during my education at the Air Force Academy, of all places, which most people might think of as a technical education, I ran into some fantastic writers and mentors there while I was going through school that really opened up my eyes to the importance of the humanities and the creative arts, as well as the technical knowledge that we all value in a life. And I think that was really the impetus when I fell in love, not only with reading, but with giving writing a go myself. And I've been very lucky to carve out some time to explore the creative arts side, as well as serving my country as an aircraft maintenance officer. So it's a little bit of an odd combination. But no, I've grown to love writing as fervently and as passionately as any other topic in my life.
And I think when you talk about, you mentioned odd combination, and I think some people would say, well, a novelist and an active duty Air Force officer, it's kind of a different. And I stated at the beginning that you're retired. That is not correct. You're still
active? No, I'm actively serving, yes.
Okay, well, thank you. And I apologize for making that mistake. But
okay.
Again, people are saying, wait a minute, here is somebody who is an officer in the Air Force, serving our country, has a very busy job, but yet he's also a novelist. And so, pardon the expression or the cliche, but we're getting it straight from the horse's mouth, as some people say.
Yeah, I would say, in this book in particular, so I'd first say that I do have a day job and one I'm committed to. And as we all know, when you serve in the military, it's not just a day job. It's a 24/7 job. And I'm very proud to still serve my country. And so obviously the writing component of my life is not directly related to my service. And so therefore, those moments trying to find creative space to write often occur, honestly, late at night when my wife and kids are asleep. And like many service members have their individual hobbies and the loves that they have outside of their jobs, mine just happens to be writing. But this is a novel. It's an act of an imagination. I myself haven't served in the specific Afghanistan theater. And so while the book does take place, two of the 15 chapters are in the combat zone in there in Afghanistan, I've been very fortunate to tap into the emotional and physical experiences of my friends and family and to feel the pain and the successes and kind of the whole life experiences of those combat zones. But as importantly, also the domestic life. That what our country asks not only of our service members, but of our families and friends and communities. So I am close certainly as an active duty Air Force officer to this topic, but it is an act of imagination in this novel.
We're visiting with Jesse Goolsbee, and Jesse is the author of I'd Walk With My Friends If I Could Find Them. Would you say, Jesse, that this could be considered an historical novel?
Boy, that's a wonderful question and one I haven't fielded yet. You know what? Off the top of my head, I would say certainly yes. I mean, one of the interesting things about this book and one of the creative liberties I took was not only focusing, in the 90s before these three protagonists join up, well, two of them in the mid-90s and one after 9/11, not only do we go back and hopefully get a clear sense of America pre-9/11 and post-9/11, but one of the liberties I've taken is to also project out into the future. So while I would hope people would recognize the scenes of Afghanistan in 2004 and those soldiers having conversations in that historical time and that it read accurate, I would also hope that the reader encounters an ambitious imagination in projecting now and also into the future.
One of the other authors who we're going to interview later on this week, I believe, is Jeff Shara. And Jeff has written a lot of novels about, well, World War I, the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, which he and his dad made famous as far as books go. But what he says is that when he writes a book, he wants to write it from the soldier's perspective, from the person who was actually there. And you do that in this book. So when you were doing the research for all this book, did you interview different soldiers, different airmen, different sailors who were out there, Marines, that you had touched base with and they'd been out there?
Absolutely, Lou. You hit the nail on the head there. I mean, I think two things happen when you're trying to write, in this case, realist fiction. So while it's an act of imagination, one of my goals in the creative act of writing this book is to also make it feel real. And in order to do that, and I'm not writing nonfiction, right? If I was writing a memoir and if I had served in Afghanistan, well, then I could draw on those specific memories. But because I'm not, I certainly had to talk to many of my brothers and sisters in the service, those that served in Afghanistan and those that frankly didn't. I really, one of the things I'm trying to capture in this novel is really a wide view of what it means to be a human being first, but also what it means to be a soldier. So in order to tap into all those moments in a life that matter, not just the combat ones, but pre and post combat service, it was really key to me to not only to talk, in this case, to specific Army soldiers, but also their families and friends, and really try to tap into the communities as well. But I was really keen on getting the details right, as you can imagine, basing this in realist fiction. And it's funny because my editors, they assume that because I'm an Air Force officer that I would know all the Army lingo, for example. And that just simply isn't the case. So I certainly relied heavily on my dear friends in the Army specifically for this book.
We're visiting with Jesse Goolsbee. Jesse is the author of I'd Walk With My Friends If I Could Find Them. And as we start to talk a little bit about this novel, I mentioned at the beginning of the interview that one of the main protagonists is a young 18-year-old young man who wants to leave his home in Northern California, he's out of high school, and I guess he wants to kind of start exploring on his own. So why don't you guide us and introduce us to Wentrick and then the other two?
I'd be happy to. So Wentrick, one of the things, and I'll start with maybe just quickly a higher view up, and that is one of the things I wanted to focus, the reason why I picked three protagonists, is because I really wanted to showcase the diversity in each life and showcase reasons why folks may join the service, which of course the reasons why people would join are as numerous as the people that we have served. And one of the, I think, public perceptions people have is when they think Army or Air Force, there's a tendency to group all of us together. And so I was really hoping to show these specific individual lives. in saying that, you know, the main protagonist is Wintrick Ellis. He's from a small logging town in the far northern reaches of California. And yes, you feel his patriotism. Yes, you feel, you know, the desire to serve his country. But I think most importantly, you feel his pragmatism. When he looks around at his small town and the job opportunities in which that would take him out and let him see some of the world, the Army is one of the most, to him, interesting and reliable ways in which he can do that. Similarly, the other characters, we have Armando Torres from Colorado Springs, Colorado. You know, he experiences some family trauma domestically. And while that isn't the only reason he joins the Army, it is one emotional way as he looks around at his world in Colorado and says, I need to experience something new, something different. And of course, Armando, Wintrick is post-9/11, I should say, and Armando is pre-9/11. So, you know, those are two different, completely different worldviews and reasons for joining. And then perhaps I'll just add quickly that Big Dax is from Rutherford, New Jersey. And so once again, you have not only a geographical difference between the three main protagonists, but he's also has graduated high school and is simply trying to find a next step for his life. And what is that going? What is that going to be? Where is he going to possibly get educated, get good health care? And of course, there are many avenues in which to choose from, but he's really focused in just the next pragmatic step in his life. So I hope that all three of those come off as individual characters that are proud to serve their country, but have also joined up for a plethora of other reasons in which one might consider joining the service.
We're visiting with Jesse Goolsbee. Jesse is the author of the novel I'd Walk With My Friends If I Could Find Them. Now, one of the things that sticks out immediately, you get that feeling of being there, is when you start reading the book and you Wintrick steps on the ground in Afghanistan. He's walking, and all of a sudden, and I can imagine, what is going through a soldier's mind from training, and all of a sudden, hey, this is the real thing. And when he's looking, you know, they warn him about, you know, bombs, and one of the jobs that they have to do is when they have to search the people for the bombs. And so I would imagine, and I don't know, it's hard to imagine or put into feelings what he is feeling, because he's got to be scared, but then he wants to also probably impress his friends, not impress them, but, you know, show that he's a part of the team and he's not afraid. And because it's okay to be afraid, that's why everybody else is there supporting one another. But this scene is just, I don't know, it's just so vivid.
Well, yeah, thank you. You know, one of the things that, you know, I think any author wants to do if they're writing about war or not is really tap into the yearning of their characters. And one of the things we find with Wintrick is, and I would venture to say that we would find in real life and in many soldiers, in airmen and Marines, and is that in sailors, is that there is a disorientation. No matter how well you're trained, no matter how well you think you're prepared to experience combat or just the threat of combat, in which we see in this first scene, I think there's only a natural disorientation of when you come face-to-face with it. And in this case, as you mentioned, at the opening, it's a humanitarian mission. And yet, the threat of violence, the proximity of violence, is everywhere. And it's that invisible and close proximity that would, I think, disorient anyone, even if you're, in this case, trying to help people that desperately need your help.
We're visiting with Jesse Goolsbee. Jesse is the author of the book, I'd Walk With My Friends If I Could Find Them. Jesse, in a recent interview you did with NPR, they asked you about, fetishizing war suffering, and if you wouldn't mind explaining that to us.
Yeah, I mean, one of the questions that I get, frankly, quite often is, and I think appropriately so, Louis, is when we write war fiction, how are we responding to perhaps the general media's portrayal of heroism, of tragedy, in which quite often we'll see, let's say, a 30-second clip on the evening news. And how can, and is that fetishizing the very best and the very worst of what we ask of our service members? And so I think, so I've been asked the question, I think, multiple times now, is how do we bridge that gap between this fetishization of a difficult and traumatic war experience versus trying to tap into the, if you will, the whole story? And I would say, Louis, that that's one of the very things that I'm trying to tackle myself with this book, in that I think one of the ways that you can break through that 30-second clip that isn't telling the whole story is to back up a little bit and try to investigate a longer life. Let's look at veterans and active service members not just as somebody placed in the middle of combat asked to do near impossible things, and frankly, almost always do them with honor, but also let's treat them as individuals. We can get away from the fetishization if we understand and appreciate and are empathetic to the individual plight of every single soldier, their preferences, their specific hopes and dreams. And if they've gone through trauma, their specific needs went after they've gone through that trauma. I think that's one entry point into seeing each soldier in this case as a whole life and valuable person and not just the 30-second clip on the evening news.
And that 30-second clip sometimes will unfortunately not tell the whole story, or you can't you don't know the context of the interview. But was, as you mentioned, veteran right now, sometimes we tend to put veteran or in a one little box and that's it. And so yeah. Veterans Day comes along and, you know, Memorial Day, which is the day to remember those who gave their lives for us, and Flag Day. And so you think, well, no, he's a veteran, and every veteran is different. And that's why I think it's important, as you put these three characters into the story, the fact that, you know, they're all serving, but they all have very different lives.
Absolutely, Louis. And they have different lives, and just to repeat a little bit, and also different fears and hopes. Right, I mean, you make such a wonderful point here that if we just tap into that 30-second clip or the worst of what the news has to tell us, it's possible to have a perception as veteran equals damaged, and that simply is not the case. We have so many folks that have served with distinction that move on to glorious, wonderfully fulfilled lives. And of course, we have many that need our continued attention, continued medical care, possibly for the rest of their lives. The point is, and I'm echoing your smart point here, is that each one is different. If we just remember veterans 2 days a year because there's a commercial on that says it's Veterans Day, my goodness, we're really doing the folks that choose to serve a huge disservice. And more than that, we're creating even more of a civilian-military gap. When in reality, Louis, as you know well, the people that choose to serve, we are the citizenry. We are your neighbor, your friend, the people coaching T-ball, the people in your community. And I think in general, when we see people as those individual lives with hopes and fears and dreams, just like everyone else, we come a long way to avoiding that mistake of only thinking of service members and their families once or twice a year.
We're visiting with Jesse Goldsby. Jesse is the author of the book, I'd Walk With My Friends If I Could Find Them. Those 2 days, unfortunately, have also turned into an excuse to have a day off, a cookout, a sale at the mall, whatever. And you know, our young people, others don't realize exactly what these people, what it means during those days. And in your novel, you point out also the fact that, you know, not just when they're out there are they soldiers, when they're back here, they're soldiers, when they're stateside. And some of the other battles that they have to fight are not in the theater, but For example, with Armando Torres, who he has a tough time when he comes home because of his daughters.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And this is this is another thing that, you know, we need to think about the whole life. You know, the domestic sphere can be, not always, but it can be as difficult or more difficult than the combat zone. And so I think there can be a perception that, you know, when folks come home from serving, or if they've never served, you know, many folks do an unbelievable and honorable job supporting the fight from all over the world, and many simply have not deployed to those zones. But they still deal with the traumas of domestic life like everyone else. Now, Armando Torres specifically deals with that domestic sphere because of his absence. It's not the fact that he's taken a life over in Afghanistan that causes his daughters and him to really have a fractured relationship. It's simply his absence as a husband, as a father. And so when we acknowledge those type of domestic things, as much as the combat zone issues, again, we really start to get an empathetic ear to this whole life dichotomy instead of just the choice to fire your weapon or not. It's really about those human connections and the long lives before and after, and certainly during while our service members serve so honorably.
We're visiting with Jesse Goolsbee. Jesse is the author of the book, I'd Walk With My Friends If I Could Find Them. It's a novel about the war and the three soldiers, the war in the last 15 years, I guess, wars, excuse me. And one of the other things that you bring out in your book, and also because, okay, who are veterans? Who are the soldiers? And the fact that not only are Wintrick, Big Daz, and Armando Torres the warriors, but so are the wives, the moms, the children, and for some even the husbands who stay home because their wives are out there. And they're fighting here at home because people are – sometimes they feel ostracized.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I would hope that one of the things the novel investigates is this notion of heroism and courage. I think perhaps it's we're used to, and we're easy to identify acts of heroism and courage on the battlefield. We recognize them. They're as old as the Iliad, and through the years, bravery in the face of enemy fire, risking the self to save your comrades and brothers and sisters at arms. One thing that I'd really like to see more acknowledged, and that, again, the novel investigates, is the heroism and courage that happens every day back home from the family members and the people. It's the wives, it's the husbands, it's the communities, it's the children. And I think, personally, some of the most, if not the strongest characters in the book are the folks that are not only carrying their own weight back home, but that showcase an incredible amount of love, forgiveness, and empathy for the folks coming home that need them to be strong. And we certainly see that in the women characters, which was very, very important for me to showcase, simply, Louis, because I think it's true. I think they're largely an underappreciated spouses, like you said, male and female, spouses of the people that are keeping the families together, that are there not only for themselves, but for their spouses when they return.
Now, Jesse, tell us, we haven't talked about this, but the title of your book, I'd Walk With My Friends If I Could Find Them, that captures your attention right away. And people want to know, okay, what is this about? There's a dog tag on the cover, and the title jumps at you, I'd Walk With My Friends If I Could Find Them. Tell us about this.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of my claims for, again, all literature, and not just war literature, would be would be this deep human yearning for connection. I'd make the claim in real life, but especially in the imaginative arts, what a lot of people are looking for is notions of identity. Who am I? And how do I connect to other human beings and find a place in this world where I'm accepted and loved? And I think we see our three main protagonists, and as you mentioned, family members and friends of theirs in the book, they're all looking for that human connection across the globe in their own respective cities in America before and after the war. And so I think the title, I would hope that it illuminates this search of, I would walk closely with my friends, but I need to find them. I need to prove to myself, and they need to prove to me that I am accepted, and that when there is trauma, and during the good days, that these friends are more than friends. They're true companions that'll be there. And do we find those people in the 4th of July parades, our brothers and sisters in arms? Do we find them in our living rooms? Do we find them on the side streets of America? And I think one of the things this book does is show all the characters looking for those connections. And when they find them, leaning on them very heavily.
We're visiting with Jesse Goolsbee. He is the author of the book, I'd Walk With My Friends If I Could Find Them. We have about a minute left, Jesse, but I want to touch upon also the fact that, as you mentioned, personalizing the soldiers and their families, I think, and I'm not sure if the other readers pick this up or not, but when you're describing what you see in Afghanistan, what Wintrick sees in Afghanistan, you realize that, you know what, these people, these grandfathers, these mothers, these children are humans. They're just like you and I.
Lou, you couldn't sum it up better. If there was one thing that I would hope that people would take away, and I hope they take away a lot, but if there was one thing, is that we're all of us, human beings, first and always. We may be soldiers or airmen or Marines or sailors, but at the foundation, we're always human beings first, looking for connection and love in our lives.
Jesse, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. We've been visiting with Jesse Goolsbee. He is the author of the book, I'd Walk With My Friends If I Could Find Them. And Jesse, do you have a web page or a Facebook page that people can go to?
I sure do, Lou. Thank you for mentioning that. It's www.jessegoolsbee, all one word, jessegoolsbee.com.
Thank you very much. We're visiting with Jesse Goolsbee. Jesse is the author of the novel, I'd Walk With My Friends If I Could Find Them.